Earlier this week, we explored our American tradition as a benchmark for our Rosh Hashanah tradition, from baseball to Stars and Stripes, the national anthem to the Capitol building, the presidents, contrasted with the late Queen of England. But in one more extension of that heritage, I'd like to take a page from the annals of the great philosophical tradition that the United States has borne on these shores. But for today, it won't be Thomas Jefferson, it won't be Ralph Waldo Emerson, it won't be Henry David Thoreau. Today, I'd like to reflect a little bit on the brilliance of one of the great American philosophers, none other than Yogi Berra. Yogi said that the future ain't what it used to be. The future ain't what it used to be. So I've always found it hard not to laugh when recalling this classic Yogiism. But recently, a pasuk in Tehillim somehow came to mind when considering this profound yet confusing piece of Yogi wisdom. We say all the time, during Elul, twice a day, Acha she'alti me'es Hashem, oso avakesh. Part of L'davar Hashem Ori v'ishi is that statement of Davar HaMelech, which will translate as follows. Acha she'alti, I have requested, I have sought but one thing, oso avakesh, and it's that that I will seek. And the Mefarshim over the years have struggled mightily to apprehend the choice of words by the author here in this Kapitel Tehillim. The words are grammatically inconsistent when you think about it, because David HaMelech is starting by describing the past, and in the very same breath, he reorients his focus, and he's in the future tense. First it's Acha she'alti, I have requested, I have sought, and then it's Oso avakesh, I will seek. Much like Yogi went from the future to the past and back and forth. What in the world is this pasuk trying to tell us? Are we recalling a time that's gone by, or is David HaMelech predicting and foretelling what has yet to come? That's the question. So I think when you look at Parshas Kisavo, the end of the Parsha, we can try to uncover something about not just the Parsha, but David HaMelech and even Yogi Berra as well. In Perachav Zayin Pasuk Tes, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people at the very end of his life, and he says, Hayom hazeh niyeso l'am l'Hashem elkecha. On this day, you become a nation. Seems like a monumental statement, right? It's like Moshe, as a parent, speaking to a child at a bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, you've come of age, now you're a man, now you're a woman, there's a rite of passage that's arrived, and now it is time for you to step up, independent and mature. Hayom hazeh niyeso l'am l'Hashem elkecha. Now you're a nation. Sounds pretty dramatic, right? Sounds like there's something monumental occurring. Now, you'd think so, and it could have been, but at the same time, I'm not sure that really is. Is it really so monumental? What's happening now? Did something just occur? What is the event that inspires Moshe to charge the Jewish people right now with nationhood? So, if you look in the Chumash, there are no easy clues. The context is vague. There's a break in the action right before the pasuk, and right after that pasuk, so you can't really judge too much from the immediate vicinity surrounding the text what's taking place. And beyond that, if you'd ask me, when did we become a nation? So you and I could easily think of many natural moments that we would more colloquially refer to as the birth of a nation. How about Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? My wife's rabbi in Chicago, Rabbi Zev Cohn, has a minhag that every year on Pesach, he and his family, when they're around the Seder table, they begin with happy birthday. They sing Manashtana, and then they say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to the Jewish people, happy birthday to you. Right? That, there is the birthplace of the birth, the birthday of the Jewish people leaving Mitzrayim, right? But that was 40 years ago, 40 years before Parshas Kisavo. Standing at Har Sinai, that would be another obvious option, right? You get the Torah, you have the book of laws, you have the guidance to show you how to serve Hashem, right? Isn't that what makes us a nation? Isn't that a better time to consider the emergence of the Jewish people? Or maybe it should be the resilience and the resurgence of Klal Yisrael after the Chet Egel, after the Golden Calf, when the Mishkan was finally assembled and Hashem returned to the midst. The Shekhinah came back to Klal Yisrael. That was when we became a nation. But now, after 40 years, this is the curtain call. This is the end of an era. Moshe Rabbeinu is about to retire and he's about to expire. What makes a nation right now in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu, when everything else seems to be anticlimactic? I think you have to turn a few more pages in Parshas Kisavo to find the clue. By Yikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael, this is Perachav Tes, he calls to the entire nation. Vayomer aleihem atem risem eskol asher osa Hashem leinechem beretz Mitzrayim leparo l'chol avoda v'chol arzo. Says you have witnessed with your own eyes everything that Hashem did to Egypt and to Paro and all of his subjects and to the land. The land was devastated. You've seen everything that occurred 40 years in the desert. V'lo nasan Hashem lechem lev ladas v'inayim liros v'aznayim l'shmo arayom hazeh. But it's only now that you have received a heart to understand. You've received eyes to see and ears to hear. Hayom hazeh. Clearly Moshe Rabbeinu recognized that there was a transformation taking place right now in front of him on this day. It wasn't simply a coming of age. It was one that represented their identity of what makes a Jew and a people of Jews. So what was it? What was it? What was it then and there after 40 years? Rashi says on that pasuk, Shamati she'osu hayom she'nasan Moshe sefer HaTorah l'bnei Levi. This was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died. And on that day, we will read later in Sefer Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just say goodbye, but he wrote a Sefer Torah, and he gave that Sefer Torah to Shevet Levi. Vayitna el ha-kohanim b'nei Levi, and the Jewish people knew about that. And the Jews protested. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, how can you give it just to them? We also stood at Har Sinai. We also got the Torah. Why are they in charge? Why are they the only ones receiving this Torah? Fascinating. On the one hand, the Jews seem to be threatened. They feel like Moshe's own tribe, Shevet Levi, they're entrusted with the Torah, and they objected because they didn't get it, and they said, Moshe, people in the future are going to think it's theirs and not ours. Don't leave us out of the picture. Don't leave us behind. Oh, wait a second. I get it. Now we're a nation because we're fighting again. Gevaldik, that's the pshat. Baruch Hashem, competition has resumed. Two Jews, three opinions. The shul you don't daven at. That's what makes us a nation, right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. No! That's not it. That can't be. There's no way that makes us a nation. And more than that, for the Jews to be afraid that Levi would be empowered to usurp the Torah, that also doesn't make sense. From the times of Yaakov Avinu, when the Jews came down to Mitzrayim, the Rambam tells us that Levi was given the status of Rosh Yeshiva. They were the ones who protected our heritage to educate the Jewish people. They were the one tribe who was never enslaved when everyone else was, so that they could keep teaching Klal Yisrael what it meant to be Jewish. Throughout our history, the Kohanim and the Levim, they were the ones who were the heart of the educational system, the Rebbeim, and the Poskim. How could they be upset that Levi was given that role? They always had that role. So let's get to the answer. There's another time in the Midbar where someone said, don't leave us out. Don't leave us out of the picture. When was that? Parshas Baaloscha. Two individuals who were Tamei came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Lama Nigara, don't take us out of the picture. Don't leave us behind. Everyone else will bring a Korban Pesach. We can't, but give us a chance somehow to be a part of it. One opinion of Medrash says that those two individuals were the people who removed Nadav and Avihu's bodies from the Mishkan shortly before on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They were from Shevet Levi as well. They, with their pure intention and sincere determination, Hashem granted their wishes, and a new section of Halacha was revealed in the Torah to respond to their deep spiritual yearning. They were from Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi distinguished itself by saying, we want more. We want to attach ourselves to the Holy Torah and to Hashem. Don't leave us behind. Moshe Rabbeinu says, on this day, to all of Klal Yisrael, you have demonstrated that Shevet Levi is not unique. They are not alone, but we have an entire people, an entire nation of those who say, don't leave us behind. We also want to strive for more. We also want to grow and elevate and share the same spiritual gene that we have that makes us desire to be more godly, to be more inspired, and to be more connected to Hashem. V'samach Moshe al hadavar. Rashi goes weiter and says, Moshe was happy. He was pleased to hear this from the people. Moshe was a Rebbe. Moshe was a teacher, right? What more could he ask for than everyone's graduating? He was no longer going to be with them. And they said, you may be gone, but we're going to keep taking what you taught us and ask for more, reach for more. I'm a Rebbe, right? Guys, come through my yeshiva room. 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, they graduate. But there's nothing more gratifying than when a guy 6 months later, a year later, texts me, Ashayla, some advice, I'm getting married, I'm dating, I need some help with some direction. Moshe Rabbeinu was so happy to see, now you become a nation. Now I see you taking the lessons and moving them forward. You are a nation. And he sent he taught a lesson right then and there, not just for his generation, but every generation and us right now, today. But what does it mean to be a Jew? That we are not passive recipients of a code of law. We're not merely following by rote what we did last year or the year before, taking instructions from Shevet Levi or anyone else, going through the motions. You desire to see yourselves in the process, Moshe says. You're rooted in the power of tradition, and yet you see yourself climbing higher always. That is the essential definition of Am Yisrael. Not just one Shevet, but an entire nation, a people who had that desire to be ever evolving. A Jew seeks more, higher heights. And he says that is your national identity. That is synonymous with the Jewish motivation to be ever closer to Hashem. Both sides, to bring this all together, we just began Slichus now. Whether you stay up late or not, or you stay in the morning, or whatever it happens to be, doesn't make a difference right now. We are making our foray into the days of awe, to the Yom Noroim, where we have to prove our worth, not just based on our past, but on our trajectory into the future. We say, Hashem, we're going to climb higher because we're capable of it, we strive for it, and it's part of who we are, whether it means learning more, making a larger slice of time for chesed in your life, being more careful about how we speak to each other, and yes, being able to convert a 3.5 minute Shemona Esrei into a 4.5 minute Shemona Esrei, to give a little more attention to one paragraph each day, a different paragraph to understand it better and have more meaning, say it more slowly. But whatever it happens to be, to make the statement to Hashem, we will not let ourselves get left behind, because a Jew is always climbing higher. That's our identity. David HaMelech says, Acha sha'alti meis Hashem. I sought one thing. If you ask a child, what do you want to be when you grow up? A little girl is going to tell you at 6, I want to be a princess, I want to be a ballerina. A boy is going to say, I want to be in the NBA. As they get older, 10, 20 years down the line, so that's going to change. It's going to get more sophisticated, more realistic. They're going to have new vistas of where they see themselves. Chafetz Chaim said the same thing when it comes to David HaMelech. He said, I used to be Acha sha'alti. I was a shepherd in the fields, just me and my harp and my tehillim and Hashem. But even as I grew older and I became a king and a warrior and a general and a militarist, nothing changed. Oso avakish, even as I move through my future, that same desire to come close to Hashem never ceases. I'll just find new areas and new vistas wherein to strive. No, Yogi, the future ain't what it used to be. It can't be. If I saw my future one way, with the trajectory here, the arc must be higher as I am on the eve of a brand new year. New years, new areas, new vistas, a new future awaits, so the future ain't what it used to be. I have a new future ahead, striving a little bit higher than I did in the past. There was a French journalist, Jean-Baptiste Alphonse Carr, who said something which people say all the time. The more things change, the more they stay the same. The more things change, the more they stay the same. I would submit that that a week from Rosh Hashanah, our phrase that we should coin right now is, the more things stay the same, the more they need to change. Just the opposite. The more things stay the same, the more that I have a constant Acha sha'alti that always was, Osa avakesh, the more they stay the same, they will change. Because that is the trajectory that I now raise a little bit higher before Rosh Hashanah, and that is the identity of Atem Neyisem La'am. Now is when we become a nation. That is what defines a nation, always climbing higher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the power to do that, to create new goals, realistic goals, and to actualize them in the year ahead. Okay, Rabbosai, Hatzlacha Rabba, have a wonderful day.